finish what we started a couple weeks ago. Luke chapter 9, going to start at verse 7 and go through 11. A couple weeks ago, we went verses 1 through 6, talked about when Christ sent out the 12 disciples and empowered them, and they performed miracles. He sent them with the message he gave. He sent them in faith. He sent them telling them not to take their necessities, but rely on God in the process. Wanted to teach them something, and he still has much to teach them, but he did this for a purpose. Starting in verse 7, "Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was happening, and he was greatly perplexed, because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, and by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the prophets of old had risen again. Herod said, 'I myself had John beheaded, but who is this man about whom I hear such things?' And he kept trying to see him. When the apostles returned, they gave an account to him of all that they had done. Taking them with him, he withdrew by himself to a city called Bethsaida. But the crowds were aware of this and followed him. And welcoming them, he began speaking to them about the kingdom of God and curing those who had need of healing." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, that your plans always aren't what we think. Father, that we look at a situation, most of the time, we look at a situation in and of itself, in the context of itself, rather than in the context of your whole plan. And Father, there's so much about your whole plan we don't understand, so we try and understand just the small little aspect of it. And Father, we miss the big picture. So often we miss it. Lord, I pray that as we go through this, we would see that your plans are not always ours, but Father, that your plans include much more than what we can even begin to fathom. And help us to apply that in our life. We love you. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Now in Luke, we've gone through Luke. Luke is the only Gentile writer of a gospel. He wrote about the humanity of Christ. That was his theme. But he also wanted to be very precise in his writing. His purpose was to be precise in the life of Christ and to show why Christ is here and what happened in his life that can affect us and be our example. We had the births of John and Jesus that were foretold. We had the ministries, the baptism of Jesus by John, and then the ministries of John, and then the ministry of Jesus. Now we're along the way through the ministry of Jesus here. He's already chosen his 12 disciples. He has a great following of other disciples. He has a great following of curious onlookers. Excuse me. This crowd that is following him is growing, but he has now come to a place where he sent out his 12 disciples, gave them power to perform miracles, and gave them a message. And the message is that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they went out and they did that. And what we're going to see is that that caused something. We're going to look at that a little bit next week. But what we're going to look at today is the perplexity. There's the word. The perplexity of the people. And we're also going to look at the compassion of Christ. But the perplexity of the people. Because the disciples went out with this message that Jesus has been proclaiming. That John the Baptist proclaimed beforehand, said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent. And of course, John backed that up with baptism, but Jesus has gone out now and he has performed miracles to prove that what he is saying is true. He has healed many people. In fact, he just healed a little girl that was dead. He brought her back to life. So what he says was backed up by what he did, so that the people would know that there's something special. There was something supernatural here. So then he sent out his disciples with that same power. his disciples with that same authority and the same message to spread it faster than what he was spreading it with just one group. They went out into all of Galilee and they spread it. Now, if you remember, they're just in that one region, just in Galilee, 25 miles by about something longer than that. I can't remember. I think it's like 50 miles. I can't remember for sure. But anyway, it wasn't a huge area. But they went out for we're not sure how long, maybe a week, maybe two. It wasn't a huge long time, but it was an amount of time where they had gone from house to house, from village to village. And they had stayed at a village, stayed in a house, and then they would move on to another. So they had pretty well covered a lot of area. But then the reaction that came from that is confusion, is a perplexity of the people. Look in verse 7. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was happening, and he was greatly perplexed. He heard of all that was happening. He was greatly perplexed. These disciples have gone out, and they have talked to people about the coming kingdom of God. Now remember, the disciples still didn't understand that this was not a spirit, or this was not a physical kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom. They still didn't recognize that. We find that out later. So they're still thinking, hey, the kingdom, this is going to rise into an uprising in the kingdom. Well, Herod the Tetrarch didn't want an uprising, all right? That wasn't his desire. Herod the Tetrarch was the same Herod that would be there to put Christ on the cross. He was the same Herod that Christ, when Christ died on the cross, he was the one in charge. He was called Herod the Tetrarch. Tetrarch means a fourth part. So the kingdom had been divided into four parts, and he was over that region that included Israel. His father was Herod the Great. His father was the one who had heard that a king was to be born and invited the wise men over to tell him all about this king and to tell him where he would be born and to make sure he knew when he would be born. And, of course, they went home a different way. So Herod just had a lot of the two-year-old and down killed, a lot of the because of the threat that could happen. So this was was part of what was on his mind. But there was more. Herod the Tetrarch heard all that was happening, and he was greatly perplexed because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the prophets of old had risen again. So there was confusion going on. The reports that were coming back to Herod were different. The reports that were coming back were confusing. He was hearing one thing, and what he was hearing was rumors. Rumors. That's the biggest problem with rumors. They're not based there. I mean, they can have some truth in them, but usually they're not based on a full understanding of the truth, which is what was going on. What did Israel, the people of Israel, the Jews, what did they know? They knew from the Old Testament that the Messiah would come someday. They knew from the Old Testament that there would be a forerunner. That forerunner would be a type of Elijah. All right? Now, John was the forerunner, and John was that type. He was the one that came before Christ, and Christ said, there's no greater man. Christ uplifted him a lot. And that was when John was having doubts in prison. And yet Christ uplifted him and said, look, this guy, that he is the forerunner. He's the one that was that came, that was announced. So they knew that the forerunner was coming. So their assumption was that Jesus was probably this forerunner. Or that maybe the disciples that had come and now spoken throughout the land was maybe a forerunner. But that would have been possibly John, possibly Elijah, or maybe another prophet. They were still a little fuzzy on all of that because they hadn't truly studied the Old Testament scriptures. There were some who had studied. Remember them? The prophetess, or Anna, and then Simeon. There you go. I'm glad somebody studies this. All right. Then they were there at the temple, saying, hey, you know, the Messiah is coming. We know it. It's been shown to us. It's been true. It's shown to them through the Old Testament. And if you take, I heard a sermon by John MacArthur one time. It's fascinating. But if you take just Daniel and the minor prophets there and put them all together, you can almost tell to the day when Christ was going to come because of all the predictions, all the prophecies that were given. And so they should have known that something was going to happen. Well, when these miracles started happening, they knew something was. They knew something was happening. All the apostles had gone out. They had proclaimed Jesus as the Messiah. They were giving out the same message that John had given out. Remember the message John had given out? Repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that was the message that Herod the Tetrarch was actually interested in. Remember why he had him killed? Because his wife wanted him killed. Not because Herod wanted him killed. He didn't want to have anything to do with killing him. And yet he did because of his wife. But he did so, and it was a done deal, and he had beheaded John. So what he said in verse 9, I believe, Herod said, I myself had John beheaded. But who is this man about whom I hear such things? And he kept trying to see him. He said, I had John beheaded. I know it's not John. And if it was John, risen from the dead, he was in a lot of trouble. And he would have understood that. And his authority would have been challenged at that point. Because I told them to behead John. I saw his head on the platter. I had him killed. There's no way it could be him, and it would have destroyed his authority. But he wanted to know the truth. Look what it says at the end of verse 9. He says, and he kept trying to see him. He wanted to know the truth, but for what reason did he want to know the truth? He wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see what was going on because he had heard such great stories. But you know, I don't think this is all about just Herod. Because we're never told that this leads to anywhere. So it's not just about Herod, but he is the leader of that region. So what we're talking about is the people in the region, because the people were confused about what was going on. The disciples had gone out. They had had a great ministry, apparently, and they'll get back and talk to Jesus about it. But they had performed miracles. They had healed people. They had cast out demons. They had spread the message of the kingdom. And it confused the people, because the people were now seeing more than just Jesus do this. They were seeing the disciples do this. So they knew something big was happening. Something great was happening. So they said, well, is it John? Because maybe John rose from the dead, because he was a forerunner. He was the one that said, there's the Lamb of God. He was the one that had been so powerful in his message and so brave, courageous in giving out that message. Or maybe it was Elijah, because Elijah's talked about in the Old Testament. Remember, Elijah was the one who did many miracles. He did a lot of miracles. Or maybe just another prophet, because maybe we're not seeing this altogether. So that's their mode of thinking. That's with the people. And here Herod was trying to see him out of what? Out of curiosity, for sure. Possibly because he felt threatened. To stop a threat, just like his father had done. Or maybe he was just confused with who he was, who this Jesus was, that they were doing it all in his name. Whatever it was, he wanted to see him. And again, it's not just about Herod, it's about the people. Because what we're going to see is there are so many people now who have now experienced the miracles, because 12 disciples had gone out. They had experienced the miracles of Christ. They had experienced the message. And so now they were wanting to see him also. So what we're going to see next week is that all of a sudden they have a food problem. They have 5,000 men plus women and children there all of a sudden. See, before, he had probably hundreds of followers. Now he's going to have thousands of followers, right? So the people, because part of it was that they were confused about who this is, about what's going on. We knew something special was going on, just like John the Baptist. He was special, but he was a little odd, right? Just a little odd. I mean, the guy lived out in the desert. The guy The guy wore camel skins. He ate weird stuff. But yet his message brought forth power. His message was something great. So much so that Herod really admired the guy. He didn't want to kill him. But the message was there. But you know, in all of this, the disciples had done some great things, some amazing things, but there was still something that they didn't quite understand that he's going to teach them. So if you look at this in and of itself, you think, wow, the disciples had a great ministry. So we have a tendency to take every situation and box it. Here's the disciples' ministry. They went out, they had this wonderful ministry. In fact, go on, because I want to look at the compassion of Christ. And we're going to see that how that box works. Look at verse 10. When the apostles returned, they gave an account to him of all that they had done. Now, I want you to look at that. They gave an account to him of all that they had done. That's in the middle voice. It's what's in the Greek. It's called the middle voice. And what that means is everything that they themselves had done in and of themselves, that it was their idea, was their... And they were excited. And that's how you can tell that they were excited here. Because it was something that they had accomplished themselves. They had been following Jesus, and he said, you're healed, and people were healed. He brought somebody back from the dead, and they came back from the dead. Jesus had done these wonderful things, mighty things. And in their mind, this was the beginning of the kingdom of God. God was going to be here, reigning through Jesus, and make Israel a great nation. It was all about the here and now box. This is what God's doing through us. Look at what God's doing. And yet God had something much larger in mind that couldn't be put in a box. And we're going to see that next week. All right? But when the apostles returned, verse 10, they gave an account of him to all that they had done. And taking them with him, he withdrew by himself to a city called Bethsaida. So Jesus, recognizing this, took them off by themselves. Number one, they probably needed rest. Can you imagine healing people and telling of the kingdom of God and getting people excited because the kingdom's going to be right here, right now. Look at what's going on. And then coming back and telling Jesus, look at what we've done. This is so wonderful. And Jesus saying, okay, let's go off by ourselves. We need a little bit of time to teach. We need a little bit of time to rest. We need a little bit of time of what do they call that? A debriefing. There you go. We need some debriefing time. We need to recognize exactly what's going on. So he took them off by themselves. But, verse 11, the crowds were aware of this. They recognized where he was going. They knew where he was going, and they followed him. Okay? And welcoming them. Isn't that something? Here he was. He wanted to get off by himself with his disciples. He wanted them to relax. He wanted them to debrief. And yet, the crowds came, and he welcomed them. And look what he did. The same thing he had been doing. He began speaking to them about the kingdom of God and curing those who had need of healing. He began doing the same thing, speaking to them about the kingdom of God and curing those. Why was he curing people? Because they ended up dying anyway. Why was he curing them? To show that what he was speaking about the kingdom of God was true. He wanted them to recognize the supernatural power behind this because what he was talking about was a spiritual kingdom. What they were taking it as was a physical kingdom because that was their box. They could see what Jesus was doing physically, and they were putting it in that box. Now, the disciples were seeing all this. And the disciples had just come back from a major, major, what would you call it? An evangelistic outreach. A major evangelistic outreach. And they had got all excited, and they were getting off by themselves with Christ, and they were going to talk to him, and yet all the people came. Well, what we're going to see next week is there were a massive amount of people that came. And this massive amount of people came because the disciples had gone out and multiplied the ministry that Jesus had. Jesus had gone from place to place, but the disciples had gone from place to place to place to place to place to place to place, all sorts of places, and done the same thing and said the same thing. And they came to see They came to see this kingdom that they were talking about, that Jesus was talking about. They wanted it to be a physical kingdom. Why? Because physical kingdoms bring physical good things. What?
Blessings,
luxuries, whatever. All right, something physically that would make you feel good, would make life better. We wouldn't have to be under the tyranny of Rome anymore. We wouldn't have Herod messing around with our private lives. We could be in charge of Herod. We could be in charge of the world. You see where that goes? Where that goes? A lot of what's physical, it's up in pride. You realize that? But that was the box that they were looking at. Jesus worked in us. He did this in us. And this is what it's all about. But what Jesus had in mind are over 5,000 men, plus women and children, that they couldn't recognize. That wasn't part of their box. But there were people here that still needed to understand the truth of the spiritual nature of the kingdom of God. And they still needed to understand that the Messiah had come. And Jesus welcomed them. He welcomed them because, this is the amazing thing, because the disciples still needed to learn the power of God. Isn't that amazing? The disciples had gone out, they had healed people, they had cast out demons, and yet there was going to be a problem with food that they wouldn't know what to do. Why? Because they still haven't recognized the power of God. Because they were keeping God in this box of what he's done right here, right now. It was a pretty big box. I mean, healing people and miracles and everything. It was a pretty big box. But they didn't recognize what God's full ministry was. What his full heart was. What his full desire was. For so many more. For the world. See, most of the time when we think of God's work, we think of my life. Because we can't, you know, we have a hard time visualizing something else. But we know exactly what's going on in my life. We know exactly what's going on in our situation and in our relationships and in our job and in our family and in our whatever. We know how God is working. And even when he's working in an amazing way, we still keep that boxed up. We don't realize that, you know what? He may be doing this for something else. So the disciples here, they came back. Jesus said, come on, we need to go over and rest and recuperate and debrief here. And their thought was, great, we can have now, we can get ministered, we can do that. And yet Jesus sees all the people and welcomes them and says, come on, let's serve. Well, wait a second. We just got back. We just had this wonderful time. We just had all these things that God did, and we want to share it, and we want to tell you, and we want to show you what we did. We want you to know what we did. And God says, you know what? There's more to be done. I'd love to just continue on to next week, because next week fits in with this so well. Because God still had more for them to learn, even though they had accomplished so much right then. God still had more for them to learn because they weren't really truly understanding what they had accomplished. So, what do we learn from this? Well, number one, that the problem people have with God's message then is the same problem they have today. And we're kind of guilty of that sometimes because we still think of God's blessing as physical. God's blessing as healing or money or a home or our relationships. Or we think of that. And God does bless that way. I'm not saying he doesn't. And there's nothing wrong with having healing. There's nothing wrong with having money, or there's nothing wrong with having good relationships. There's nothing wrong with any of that. Those are wonderful things. But we're promised in Scripture, in Ephesians, to be blessed with every spiritual blessing in the whole heavens. We have already been given those blessings. And we experience them as we go through our life. But the thing is, if he doesn't heal, if he doesn't give us riches, if he doesn't heal that relationship, if he doesn't Can we still trust him? Can we still trust him? So we tend to keep God in our mind. This is the situation you're working in. This is where you're working. And yet God's out here with a design that we don't see, we don't recognize oftentimes. I think the disciples were there. They were here. This is great. This is God's using. This is wonderful. And yet out here, God has something so much greater in mind. So a lot of the times, we bring that on ourselves. We tend to take it all physical. We don't understand the spiritual nature of God's truth. The disciples were excited. They were tired. They needed time with Christ. And he was willing to spend time with them. But there were people also. There was something greater. And there was still something the disciples needed to understand. This was not just an incident in and of itself. It was working up to something more. You know, what's going on in your life is not just an incident in and of itself. It's not just an isolated incident. Well, this problem is an isolated incident. It's an isolated... No, it's not. God has something greater in mind. God may be using you in this situation. He might use you mightily, and it might be a wonderful thing, but he might be doing it for this person over here. Or he might allow you to be dragged through the pit for this person over here. Can we grow in it? Absolutely. The disciples grew in it. Can we learn from it? Absolutely. Whatever it is, whether it's good, whether it's bad, we can still learn from it. We can still grow from it. But you know what? These people over here might need to see something in you. There were over 5,000 men plus women and children that all of a sudden came because the disciples had gone out and done these things. There were all this huge crowd, and Herod, the tetrarch, was even interested. I want to see this guy. I want to see what's going on. What in the world is all this? Those people needed Christ. They needed to understand the spiritual nature of the kingdom. They needed to understand what God had done in sending his son. They needed to recognize that. So, what you are concerned about or excited about may not be, I don't want to say as important, but may not be the full end of the story. Let's go with that. May not be the end of the story. Because God is still at work. And God may have a greater plan. In fact, I won't even say may. God does have a greater plan that we don't often catch. So what do? We trust God. It's like the disciples. Trust Jesus. Okay. He wants to speak to him. Let's do it. Continue on. There may be someone else who needs our time, our energy. Be compassionate. Share the truth. Let people know the truth about the kingdom of God. Let people know that the kingdom of God is spiritual, that it is eternal, that it is forever. Let people know how they can be a part of the kingdom of God by trusting in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you've not trusted in Christ, I would tell you right now, you can be a part of the kingdom of God in this world and beyond. Our focus is so in this world, isn't it? Isn't it? Our focus is so in this world because that's what we experience. But God has so much more, so much more. We were talking, when we were gone, we were talking about being heavenly-minded instead of earthly-minded. Where the scripture says to think on things above, not on things of this earth. And it's so hard because we get so wrapped up in, and these disciples were wrapped up in what they did, and it's been wonderful things, but yet there was so much more that they needed to understand because they're going to mess up right after that. They're going to mess up. Because they didn't see the fact that God is eternal, that he has a greater plan, that he has more to it. Folks, he's got more to your life. He's got more for my life than this little box we think we're in. He will break the edges down on your box. He'll break the walls down. He's great. If you have never trusted him, I'd love to show you from God's word how you can have a relationship with him. how you can put him in a box and watch him break it down. He will, because he loves you and he wants you to see the greatness of his power. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ, trust him for what you don't understand, not just for what you do understand. I mean, these disciples were amazed because of what they had done. And they could almost understand that, but again, that was their box. They didn't understand when God asked them, how are you going to feed 10,000 people? Right? They didn't understand that because that didn't fit in their box. But God had a greater purpose. He still wanted to teach them something greater. Trust God. Wherever you're at, trust him. He's got something greater. Let's close in prayer. Father,